This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
But there's another battle that I want to focus on, which is also revealed in the New Testament, and that is the battle for your identity. There is a battle going on for your identity. Now, here's the thing. This is where we come to the new creation miracle. When I was born again, when you were born again, you were so radically translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, so elevated from the depths of the flesh and depravity into the glory of your new creation identity, which is beloved son and beloved daughter. And it all happened in the twinkling of an eye when you were born again. God delivered you from an orphan spirit when you were born again. And the reason I know that is because Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, God has not given us again a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but he's given us a spirit of adoption as sons. And we have been adopted as sons. And Paul says, you are all sons in Christ Jesus. That's Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And just as the Father spoke those words over Jesus at his baptism, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Matthew 3:17 in the New Living Translation. He now speaks those very same words over every son and daughter whom he has adopted. This is my dearly loved son/daughter who brings me great joy, immense joy, in whom I am supremely stoked, is really what it's saying. It's a little bit more intense than in whom I am well pleased. Because in whom I'm well pleased, it's like, yeah, it doesn't quite cut it. I think the Greek word's eutychia, and it means supremely stoked. That's the modern paraphrase. God is supremely stoked in you as his adopted son and his adopted daughter. And so you've been given a new identity. But the problem is there's a massive satanic agenda to keep you from stepping into your new identity as a son or daughter in the house of God. Not just as a son or daughter, but I add to that, as a son or daughter in the house of God. Because, you know, there's a lot of folks these days who allow their assembling together to slip by the wayside. And, you know, we have a number of people we know around the place who just don't go to church anymore. Maybe it was during the pandemic they stopped or just develop some bad habits, and next thing you know, it's habituated non-church attendance. And, you know, so there's a battle for your identity as a son or daughter of God, but also your identity in family. Because to step fully into your identity as a beloved son or a beloved daughter, we have to step into family. And God sets the solitary in families. Because he knows that to really fully heal that old orphan identity that we all still struggle with, we must be immersed fully into family. Because it's in family that we receive the Father's love flowing through one another, and where we begin to rebuild a sense of safety and trust in the house of God. Now, plenty of things go wrong in that journey, right? And there's a lot of people and who don't go to church anymore, and partly because they got wounded in the church. And so, you know, there's a lot of church wounding out there because there's been abusive structures or controlling leadership styles that have been detrimental to people's well-being. And so, you know, we're not poking, you know, pointing the finger at people who have spiraled off. They need healing. But you see, the thing is, we had the orphan spirit ripped out of us when we were born again, and you're not an orphan anymore. But the problem is you've still got an unrenewed mind, you've still got unhealed emotions, and you've still got a will that needs to be transformed. You've still got these elements, mind, will, and emotions, that manifest orphan thinking, orphan feelings, and orphan choices, resulting in orphan behaviors. And so there's still the old orphan identity that lingers. Certainly, something shifts when we get born again and we become sons and daughters. But then you've actually got to step into the new battle, which is to put off that old orphan identity and put on the new glorious identity of beloved son and beloved daughter. Take your place in the house of God. be raised up to become spiritual mothers and fathers who can actually carry the adoptive love of the Father and be able to adopt others into the family of God and lavish love on others. And, you know, orphans can't adopt. One thing about an orphan, they can't adopt somebody else. And so if we're still bound by orphan thinking, orphan feelings, and orphan behaviors, we're not going to be able to manifest that spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption is more than just a theology. It's not just a good theology. Paul preached that theology of adoption as sons, but he lived it. He said, you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but not many fathers. He said, but I fathered you in the gospel. And so he's building communities. Paul built communities because he knew that to fully heal that old orphan wound, it's not going to happen exclusively on the mountaintop between you and the Father. And in fact, John goes as far as saying, if we can't love the people that we can see, don't say we're loving the God we can't see. How can we love God unless we can love one another? And so the deepest level of healing to the old condition of what I call orphanitis takes place in the church as we are assimilated and received in family, accepted, loved, adopted by the body of Christ. And I think God wants to raise up a mature church that manifests the fullness of the Son of God, which is what Paul was going after in Ephesians chapter 4 when he was talking about coming to the knowledge of the Son of God, where collectively we become heaven's adoptive agency and we move in an anointing of adoptive love. And that's what my vision is for every local church, that it becomes heaven's adoptive agency. And there's such a strong anointing of the spirit of adoption flowing in the house that when people come in, they feel like they've come home because everyone's just all over them with, hey, welcome. So good to have you here. You know, and just that beautiful, welcoming atmosphere, and that's adoptive love. You see, the Father's love is adoptive love. It's all kinds of love. It's unconditional love. It's perfect love that casts out fear, but it's adoptive love. And Jesus summed it up when he said to the disciples in the upper room, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Well, in fact, he comes to you, and he comes and steps into you. The Father sent his Son into the world, it says in Galatians. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. But now God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart. Getting a little closer to home. And so Jesus comes to take up residence in us, and we are in Christ. We're in the beloved Son. And that's what that book, New Creation Miracle, is all about, because it's looking at what God's done, because everyone needs to know what God has already done. Otherwise, we're praying the wrong way. We're praying for him to do something that perhaps he's already done, but we just need to have the eyes of our heart enlightened so that we can see what he's done and step into that reality. Well, the reality we're talking about stepping into is our new sonship identity. We've got to put off that old identity, and we've got to put on the new identity of beloved Son. But it's not just putting off and putting on. There's a healing that takes place as well, and it's the healing of encountering the Father's love. So it's not just a mechanistic put off, put on. There's an element of that based on the revelation of the new creation where we put off the old and we put on the new. But there's a healing that God wants to do by letting him heal the little orphan inside and bring you into the experience of the Father's love. And I think that is one of the great battles that we are living in the midst of. In fact, I put it this way. The term orphan defines the brokenness of the human condition. We're all spiritual orphans, and from heaven's perspective, it's one giant orphanage, and he's trying to pull people out of the orphanage. Orphan defines the essence of our brokenness. Beloved Son defines the essence of our wholeness. And as you read the New Testament, you are reading the juxtaposition between Jesus as the mature, beloved Son in a generation of orphans. In particular, the Pharisees were manifesting that orphan heart, that yearning for acknowledgement, significance, acceptance, all those things. They were craving that because it wasn't something that they were walking in. And then you've got all these other people who were, you know, interacting with Jesus, and then Paul the apostle interacting with the churches. The whole narrative is the juxtaposition between the orphan heart and the heart of a mature son. Jesus becomes this incredible unfolding revelation of what sonship looks like. And we're called to step into that. And that's our inheritance. We inherit sonship. And we inherit all the attributes of sonship. Jesus said, I am never alone because the Father is with me. You know, there is a plague of loneliness in our society where people feel deeply isolated and alone. And Jesus said, I'm never alone because the Father's with me. Everything you read about him, he's the pattern son. We get to step into that because the Holy Spirit is pulling us into these radical new creation realities of being conformed to the image of his son. Theologians call this the meta-narrative. A meta-narrative is a big picture narrative. It gives you the whole picture. And really, here's the big picture. Adam and Eve, you know, Adam was called the Son of God. In the genealogy, I think it's in the book of Luke, the genealogy traces Jesus' genealogy all the way back to Adam, the Son of God. But Adam became an orphan. Eve became an orphan. They were struck with a condition called orphanitis. Fast forward, the Messiah will come. The law was given as a schoolmaster to teach you. You can't live to this standard that God requires. The law tells you, you need Messiah. Messiah comes and he receives us and adopts us and says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. He adopts us as beloved sons and daughters and he elevates us into sonship. It's a glorious story. And that's the big narrative. Oh, then the other thing too, and I like to model this, says in Romans 8, in the Passion Translation, the whole world is standing on tiptoes, waiting to see this manifestation of the sons of God. And so this is something eschatological, that God is raising up sons and daughters in this season that we're in. Now, I just want to quickly divert, and I'm going to tie it back in, but I want to introduce you to a couple of Hebrew words. And, okay, we'll start with the word one, or singular, or single. It's the Hebrew word yachid. Yachid, say that to your neighbor, yachid, with your best Israeli accent, yachid. Yachid means solitary. It means alone. It means singular. It means one, but one in a singular, isolated sense. God sets the yachid in families. He puts the solitary, the lonely, the isolated, he puts them in family because that's his heart. To put them in a family environment where they can learn how to step into oneness. Now, there's another Hebrew word. Who knows the passage called the Shema or the Shema? Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And that Hebrew word there is not solitary because God has never been solitary. God has never been alone. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3 in the kingdom, right? And there's always been a glorious oneness between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Hebrew word that's used there for the Lord our God is one is not yachid, it's echad. Echad means a compound unity of oneness. Remember when Jesus said, Father, I pray that those whom you've given me may be one with us, even as you and I are one, that they would be one. And so that's the Hebrew idea of echad. And it's interesting, it's like yachid to echad. From yachid to yachad, to echad. It might be a good way of remembering it. We're moving from yachid to echad. And so that's the transition. The transition is from one solitary, isolated, singular, over there, all alone, cut off from others, and living in exile from family and community. He puts the solitary in families, and then he prays, Father, make them one. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and you'd be familiar with that verse where it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become echad or yachid. Echad. The two shall become echad. And so the whole movement in terms of our spiritual movement, because we are moving, right? We're on a journey. And the movement is from yachid to echad. I'm getting better at that. Keep practicing. I'll get it really right. From yachid to echad. From singular and isolated to oneness. And of course, that oneness there in Genesis 2:24, I think it's just expressed in marriage, the oneness of marriage. Now, I'm married. We're coming up to our 40th anniversary. We've talked about 40 anniversaries. This year is our 40th anniversary in October. And it has been a rocky ride. It's been a glorious journey. Depends on what angle you want to look at it from. There's been a lot of glory in our lives in doing ministry together. It's been the joy of our lives to follow Jesus together and lay our lives down for the church. We love that. But there's been some challenges as well. Who knows that the journey from Yachid to Echad is a bumpy ride to come into that oneness. And it's not just coming into oneness in marriage. It's coming into oneness in your immediate nuclear family with mom and dad and the kids. There needs to be a oneness there. God wants there to be a beautiful oneness in the nuclear family. And then there's the extended family. You've all got rallies and extended family. And sometimes there's hostility between families. Apparently, it's really gnarly at Christmas time when people come back together. I've heard there's like an increase of murder at Christmas because relatives come together because they are family by definition, but they're not family in heart. There's still a whole bunch of yachids. The yachids, okay, the yachids are coming over. So they're coming, but there's often hostility and breakdown in relationship, but God wants them to be one. And then there's the body of Christ. And Paul says, you know, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that Paul's headline? We are all one, neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female, slave nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all members of one body. And we are the body of Christ, but it's made up of many members. But those members are one. And so Jesus is praying for oneness. And so what hinders you and I stepping into that oneness is the old orphan issues that are still lingering in our lives. Our old orphan thinking, our old orphan feelings, feeling like an orphan, feeling isolated, feeling disconnected, not feeling attached. And so this oneness that God is wanting to bring forth, not just in Monbolt Christian Fellowship, but globally across the earth, all the churches becoming one. This is God's dream and this is Jesus' prayer that we would become one in Him. So we need to go after the things that hinder the cultivation of Echad, the things that hinder us from becoming one in Jesus. So the battle for sonship is twofold. It's the battle to find your personal identity in relation to God as Father, but it's also the battle to find your identity in family. And so God wants to pour out upon us adoptive love. He wants to pour out upon us attachment love. Salvation is a new attachment. It's not a new set of beliefs. It's a new attachment to God. And it's a new attachment that is emerging to the people among the people of God. That we're moving into oneness. And this is the whole journey from Yachid to Echad. That's the journey. And I've got stuff that's getting worked out in me still and probably will be to the day I die, where the Lord is unveiling still pockets of the old orphan wound. There is trauma attached to the old orphan wound. And we don't like visiting that place inside of us sometimes, so we keep it all well hidden and we just come to church and we go into performance. And performance mode is the kiss of death to this oneness that God wants to bring, because it keeps you isolated where you don't do intimacy, because intimacy is into me see. And if you're going to do real intimacy and let people see that you've got some orphan stuff, then you need to have a lot of humility to do that. Can I recommend we embrace the humility that says, I'm an orphan getting healed. I've still got orphan stuff going on. I'm not going to pretend that here I am having walked with Jesus for 43 years, that I'm out of the woods. The Lord is still unearthing old orphan thinking. old orphan feelings, places where I don't feel loved, safe, secure, attached and connected. And old orphan choices, and that's, you know, it covers all bases, doesn't it? Mind, will and emotion, thoughts, feelings, choices. So we're on this journey from orphan to mature beloved son. And the more we think in terms of our journey in that framework, that New Testament framework of I will not leave you as orphans, but I'm going to invite you into the same kind of mature sonship relationship that I've eternally enjoyed in the presence of my Father. That kind of resets the language a little bit, which is my goal this morning. I'm deliberately wanting to reset some of that language with us as the people of God. So there's an interesting verse, and I'll close with these two verses. The first one is in Revelation 21:7. Now this is interesting because here's the thing. You are all sons and daughters of God in Christ. Done deal from the day you were born again. The issue is stepping into the experience of being a beloved son or a beloved daughter. This is what John says in Revelation 21:7. Well, it's probably the Lord saying it, but John's writing it down. Revelation 21:7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He who overcomes shall inherit all the promises of God. This is stepping into your inheritance in Christ. This is not about the new birth. This is about you now appropriating and stepping into the fullness of everything that was purchased for you on the cross and everything that belongs to you as a new creation son or daughter. So we're talking about inheritance. And when I think now inheritance, I think the inheritance is I get to inherit a glorious father. I've got a glorious elder brother in Jesus. I get to inherit the presence of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I get to step into everything that Jesus has eternally enjoyed with the Father. That's your inheritance. Hearing God's voice, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, being anointed to heal the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, doing the work of the kingdom. All of that is part of the inheritance package that belongs to us. And he says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he shall be my son. The overcomers are those who have overcome something. You've got the world, you've got the flesh, you've got the devil, but you've also got this old orphan identity that's going blah, 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 clamoring for attention. And we need to step out of that identity into this glorious new identity that's been given to us. One other verse, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch nothing that is unclean, and I will embrace you. I will be a true father to you, and you will be my beloved sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, that sounds like you've got to jump through certain hoops to be accepted as a son. No, it just means that you've got to posture yourself in a stance of separation from all of that into the glory and the holiness of our sonship. All the defilement left behind. Step out of the defilement and step into the glory of that beautiful son and father, daughter and father relationship that belongs to us. And so I think these are the battle lines. And so what I'm talking really about tonight, this morning, is the experience of the Father's love, the experience of being a son or a daughter in the house of God. Experiencing his love, not feeling like orphans anymore. And the Passion Translation, someone mentioned that earlier in Romans 8, verse 15. You will never feel orphaned again. That's the goal, where you don't feel like an orphan anymore. You feel like a beloved son, so you start to think like a beloved son, and you begin to act like a beloved son. And it is the journey of sanctification of the mind and the will and the emotions. One of the greatest lies of the devil is you do not belong. He's always whispering that. You do not belong. And there's a lot of people out there that believe in Jesus, but they don't have anywhere that they belong. So here we are celebrating the 40th anniversary of the history of this wonderful church. And this is a place of belonging. This is home for many. This is a place that we call home. And the more we can manifest home, the more people who come through the door will walk in and they'll pay you the ultimate compliment. I feel like I've come home. No one can pay a Christian or a church. I feel like I've come home because these people accept me. I feel like I belong here. I feel like I'm loved here. I feel like I can grow here. I feel like I can feel safe. I feel like I can start to trust again. And that's a big part of this healing that we're talking about. Okay, what lies are you believing that hold you back from showing up as a son or daughter in the house? What are the lies that are holding you back? Because the enemy's a liar. He's an identity thief. Ever had your identity stolen? I have. I had to go and get a new Visa card and then contact all the people that had all the old Visa card numbers and get a whole new... It's a hassle. But I had my identity stolen. It's called identity theft. And that's what the enemy does. He's an identity thief and he's continuously trying to rob you of your identity. And God is continuously ministering identity. Romans 8:16, the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are beloved son. Beloved daughter, beloved son, beloved daughter. And he's prophesying that to you every moment of your new life in Christ. Beloved son, beloved daughter. He's your resident prophet and he lives within you to prophesy. Beloved son, beloved daughter. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you that when we put our faith in Jesus, in that moment, we were ripped out of the orphanage and the orphan was ripped out of our heart. Our spirit was joined to the Lord and we became one spirit with him, echad. And now, Lord, the journey that is set before us is to move out of that solitary, alone identity that gnaws at the human soul like a cancer. And we say, Lord, the truth is that we've been made one with you. And we stand this morning in that glorious truth that we are one and that we are all one in Christ Jesus. That you've done it, Lord. You've done it. So we breathe it in, Lord, we just breathe out the anxiety of feeling like we have to generate that because we can't. So Father, fill us with a spirit of revelation because we want to build our lives on this new foundation of this revelation that you've done it. You've already done it. But Lord, as far as our old orphan thinking goes, our old orphan feelings and our old orphan choices, we ask that you would move us from yachid to echad, from the head to the heart. Take me on a journey. Take me on a journey into the depths of what it means to be in a state of mystical union with Christ, mystical union with the Father, mystical union with the body of Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ. Move us into that oneness that we might experience the blessedness of everything that that word ichad means. All that it means to step into oneness. Orphans are always looking for something to fill up the hole, to fill up the void. We need to identify that. It might be addictions. It might be even greater isolation. Deliver us, Lord, from old orphan ways so that we put our entire trust in you. So we can ask this of ourselves, Father, in what areas have I been shortchanging myself in the battle for my sonship? Where have I shortchanged myself? Where has my thinking been unrenewed?
Where have I felt separated, that I don't belong, that I'm isolated? Lord, identify those places in us, because they're the places that you want to heal.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship. Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.